Hey everyone, hope you're enjoying today's online experience. Make sure to check us out on social media at Water's Edge Gathering on Facebook and at Water's Edge _LC on Instagram. And if you have a mobile device, make sure to look inside your app store for the church app. And inside the church app, search for Water's Edge Gathering. From there, you can do online giving, you can listen to worship music, and you can also hear a message from Pastor Tony. So everybody sit back, relax, and enjoy a great message from Pastor Tony.
What's up, everybody? Good morning. Welcome to our Sunday morning online worship experience. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for staying engaged. Thank you so much for being generous. We're still loving people, helping people, serving people, feeding people, and today we're gonna worship together. There's this game that you and I would play when we were kids, most of us, outside usually, or sometimes if you had a big house or a big building, you could play that game there. But this is how the game would go. You'd get a group of your friends together, and one person would be it. The person that was it would hide their face, close their eyes, and they would count up, usually to 100. While they were counting, everyone else would run and try to find a place to hide away from the person who was it. There was also a home base. Once the person who was it would finish counting, that person would say, "Ready or not, here I come." And they would go out and try to find everyone else who was hiding. Now, if you were hiding, you had two options. Two different strategies. The first option was this. You could find the quickest and the most direct path and the fastest path back to home base. If you could get back to home base before the person who was it tagged you, then you were safe. The other option was this. As they were chasing after you, the person who was it, you could just keep running away, trying to find more places to hide. But if they found you and tagged you, then you were the next person who was it. We know this game is hide and go seek. And this game is a game of intensity and pressure. And sometimes our life can be the same way, filled with intensity, filled with pressure, and filled with distress. Intensity and pressure from heartache, tragedy, accidents, relationship turmoil, demands that have been placed on us, expectations that have been placed on us, and temptation, and on and on. Sometimes life has the powerful ability to push us around, to bully us, to distress us, and to make us want to run away and hide. The pressure of life is this, and remember this today, it's the burden of mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical distress that this life can force on us. So what do we do when life changes quickly? What do we do when distress strikes our life quickly and fills our life with this intense pressure? How can we reclaim our life during times of confusion, during times of intensity, during times of pressure, and during times of distress? Most of the time, it's like we're playing a game of hide and seek, and we try to run away and hide from the intensity. We try to run away and hide from the distress. It's too much pressure. Too much pressure at my job, I gotta run away and hide. Too much pressure in my relationships, I gotta run away and hide. Too much pressure from this temptation. Too much pressure from these demands, I have to run away and hide. But that intensity and that pressure never stops running after us. It never stops seeking after us, and it always seems to find us. Now, when this happens, there's two different strategies, again, like playing hide and seek. You can find the quickest path back to where you want to be. You can find a specific path to get you back where you need to be, or you can keep running away and hiding. And most of the time, that's how we deal with this intense pressure in our life. We can run from it, we could hide from it, and we can never really deal with it, or you can find a very specific path, very specific direction, very specific guidance to get your life back on track and to get your life back to where it needs to be, because you want your life to end up in a specific place. We want our faith to end up in a specific place. We want our relationships to always end up in a specific place. We want our relationship with Christ to end up in a specific place, and we want our emotions to end up in a very specific place. Now, there's this odd and strange and wonderful story that we find in the scripture. And this story is really amazing, but this story is about a great storm that produces a great flood. It's about a man named Noah, and God gave Noah and his family instructions to build this big boat or a ship. They called it the Ark. The story goes something like this. At this time, the world was dark, filled with corruption, filled with oppression, filled with evil. So God's gonna send a great flood to purge the world. But God saw that Noah and his family were righteous. They were trying to do the right thing. That's what it means to be righteous, when you're trying to do the next right thing, which is always really a great question to ask. Anytime you're faced with a challenge, anytime life turns up the pressure, anytime life becomes intense and it's distressing, always ask this question: what's the next right thing for me to do? Well, that's what Noah did. He was a righteous man, and that's what the Bible means. He was always trying to do the next right thing. And the Bible says that he was also humble and godly because he was seeking God. So God gave Noah and his family specific instructions to build this massive ship, this massive ark to survive the flood for him and his family. So Noah obeys God. And then he comes up with a specific plan, a specific path, a specific direction, and a specific place to end up once the flood was over. That was on dry land. But understand that getting prepared, ultra prepared for this distressing change, this flood of intensity, did not eliminate the flood from their life. Getting prepared for it, getting ready for it, all the hard work, all the planning, it didn't make the flood not happen, and it didn't make the flood not strike their life. It just helped them survive the storm and survive the flood. Now, as we look at this story, we might be tempted to think that what helped Noah survive the flood and the storm was a specific goal and staying focused on this specific goal 100%. And that's partly true, but there was something else. There was something deeper. Notice this verse in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, out of the New Living Translation. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man. He was doing the next right thing. The only blameless person living on earth at that time. And this is what it meant to be blameless in the Bible. It meant that you had a good reputation. It meant that you wasn't a hypocrite. When someone was blameless, if someone tried to blame them, someone else could come along and say, no, I've seen the evidence of their life, and that doesn't stick. What you're saying about them really doesn't describe them. These people are blameless of your accusations. And so Noah was blameless because he was always trying to do the next right thing. So this is what it says. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at that time. Notice this. And he walked in close fellowship with God. Noah was driven in this life. He had direction in this life, but his main priority was to have close fellowship with Jesus in this life. And that was his anchor, and that was his foundation, and that was his value in life. God goes on to give Noah these very specific instructions to build this massive ark that's the size of 2 football fields. Could you imagine? All the way back then, thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, and God himself gives you instructions in order to survive this worldwide flood of a big ark that's gonna be bigger than 2 football fields. That's the size of a community. Talk about intensity. Talk about distress. Talk about pressure. And the Bible says, the text says, that Noah did everything that God commanded him to do. I found that amazing. But this is what helped Noah stay focused on his path and his direction. He was able to stay focused on his goals and his direction because he stayed focused on his values. Let me say that again. Noah was able to stay focused on his path and his direction because he stayed focused on his values.
7 days from now, I will make the rains pour down on the earth, and it will rain for 40 days and 40 nights, until I have wiped from the earth all the living things that I've created. So Noah did everything as the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood covered the earth, and he went on board the boat to escape the flood, he and his wife and his sons and their wives. Genesis chapter 7, verses 4 through 7. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and livestock with him in the boat. He sent a wind to blow across the earth, and the floodwaters began to recede. The underground waters stopped flowing, and the torrential rains from the sky were stopped. So the floodwaters gradually receded from the earth. After 150 days, exactly 5 months from the time the flood began, the boat came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. Genesis chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. It's good to have direction in life. It's wise to have goals in life. It's amazing to stay devoted to your goals no matter what. But at the end of the day, more than anything else, what keeps us grounded in life is what we value. And for Noah, he valued staying close to God over everything else.
Now, in light of all that, let's try to apply this to our life with just a couple of observations. The first one is this. If you're still with me, say, I'm still with you. Here we go. What hiding place do you run to when life puts too much pressure on you? When your life is filled with anxiety, stress, heartache, pain, uncertainty, and pressure, where do you go? Do you run back to that old anger, those old habits, old patterns, those old excuses, those old addictions, those old ways, that old selfishness? Or do you run back to God Himself? Our value of being close to God should always determine our pathway in life. The next observation is this. What helps us survive the pressure of life is not necessarily having the right goals, but having the correct values. It's a great thing to set, pursue, and accomplish your relationship goals. It's a great thing to set, pursue, and accomplish your financial goals, your health goals, your family goals, your faith goals, your relationship with Christ goals. But when life turns up the pressure and when life is filled with distress, having the right values of seeking a close fellowship with God and a closer relationship with God is always the one thing that'll keep you grounded. It's always the one thing that'll help you face your storms and overcome your floods. And this value will produce evidence in our life of being more like Jesus Christ, our rabbi. Evidence, fruit in our life like this, forgiveness. If you're going through a relationship flood right now and it's intense and distressing, start here. Start with forgiveness. People who have the value of getting close to Jesus and staying close to Jesus are people who forgive, and they forgive very quickly. An old preacher once said that you're never more like Jesus Christ than when you forgive, and you're never more unlike Jesus than when you don't forgive. And so you can have all the best goals in your life. You can have all the best intentions and all the best plans, but if your value is not to have a close walk with Jesus Christ, then your life is not going to be filled with this evidence of forgiveness. Forgiveness is the evidence that you have a close relationship and fellowship with your rabbi Jesus. Something else is this, the evidence of compassion and empathy. This can help you survive the distressing storms of anger and division. When people who seek God draw close to God over and over and over again, their life is always consumed with compassion and empathy. When you meet people who say they know God, when you meet people who say they go to church, but then you get around them and you don't see the overflow of compassion and empathy, it's a sure sign that they can say the right things and they may even have the right goals, but they don't have the right value, because the right value is to get closer and closer and closer to Jesus. And it's impossible to get close to Jesus and not be consumed with compassion and empathy. Man, am I preaching or what? The next is this, faithfulness and resolve. When distressing life change happens that you do not see coming, faithfulness to God and the resolve to stay close to God will always help you survive the floods. In your life, the floodwaters are going to rise over and over and over again. And nothing will help you eliminate the floods from your life. Nothing will help you prevent the floods from striking your life. But one thing will help you survive the floods, and that's having the correct value. And the correct value in this life is having a close fellowship and a close relationship with Jesus Christ. When I was a little kid growing up, my daddy was a pastor in De Quincey. And I remember we had this youth minister one time who took our entire youth group on the weekend out camping. We went way out in the woods in De Quincey. I would not advise that today. When you go out into the woods in De Quincey, you hear noises that you don't hear in public. You hear animals that you've never heard before. You hear all kinds of things. It's scary. Freddy Krueger is out there, man. Jason is out there, so you want to stay away. But this is where our youth minister took us. So we were on our own, man, building campfires, burning tires, cooking hot dogs over burning tires. I'm surprised we survived that night. But about midnight, we all decided to have some fun and play hide and go seek out in the woods. Pitch black. No light whatsoever, man. It was going to be awesome. And one of our friends, he was one of those guys that whenever he was hiding, he never wanted to run back to home base. He always wanted to try to get the person who was it to chase him as far as he could and see how long he could draw that out. So he would go to this hiding place, to this hiding place, to this hiding place, to this hiding place. Not me, not the rest of us. It was too dark. I didn't want to run around in the dark. Man, when he said, ready or not, here I come, I wanted to find the fastest and the quickest path back to home base. And when I saw him go by me, I ran to home base. But not our one friend. He kept running away further and further and hiding and hiding, and it was pitch black. And then the next thing I know, I hear him screaming. We go and find him. This is what happened to him. As he's running around in the dark, he runs straight into a tree, and a tree branch goes straight into his ear. We had to bring him out of the woods that night and straight to the emergency room. Blood everywhere. I said, Tony, that's horrible. But that's what happens when you run around in the dark. That's what happens when you live this life with no pathway and no direction to follow. But the best way to have the best pathway in this life and the best direction in this life is to have the best value. And the best value is to have close, close relationship, intimacy, and fellowship with Jesus Christ. I hope this has helped you out today. We love you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hope you have a great week.
Man, what an awesome and encouraging message from Pastor Tony. If you found the whole experience encouraging, make sure you comment that down below. And if you have a prayer request, make sure you comment that down below as well. If you want to further partner with the church, there's four simple ways to do so. The first way is you can give online. You can visit watersedgegathering.com and click on giving. From there, you'll be led to eGive, our online giving platform. Or you can text to give. You can text or give to 337-223-9003. From there, you can enter your dollar amount, and then you'll be led to on-screen instructions. Or you can give within the app. Make sure to go to your app store and download the church app. And within the church app, click Water's Edge Gathering. From there, click on give, and you can give your tithes and offerings. Or you can give by mail. You can do so by mailing Water's Edge Gathering at P.O. Box 572, Lake Charles, Louisiana 70602. Or Water's Edge Gathering at 2760 Power Center Parkway, Lake Charles, Louisiana 70607. I want to say we love you guys. We hope you guys have a great, great week.